I will be saying Matthew 28, 19, and 20. If you want to look it in your Bible, you may. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I commandeth you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, 19 and 20.
Now we'd like to offer the song of invitation. Dylan has been working on that, and we've been working to get Dylan up here with everything that's been going on with the rally and all the other things happening, and I'm glad we finally were able to get him up here to show you what he could do. And maybe as a reminder to some of us that that memory might work a little better than we think it does if we try to exercise it every now and then, and Scripture's a good place to start with that. A couple things to mention before we get rolling here. First of all, to remind you again about the men's retreat coming up at Camp Yamhill. Camp Yamhill is hard to say. Coming up at Camp Yamhill, there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for this. That sheet is not your registration with them. You still have to either call them or go to their website to register and pay and all that stuff. But it is to let us know if, one, who might be interested in going, and two, to get together if we might want to ride together to go up there. So if you're thinking of going, sign up on that sign-up sheet and let us know. That would be great. Also, ahead of myself here, Scout Sunday. I left this up on my phone so I could look at it again. Norm sent me an email about Scout Sunday during the week, and I asked Norm if he'd be willing to get up and talk about it because it's something that's a little closer to his heart. But I was struck by the email, the Scout Law, that they recited a little while ago. A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And I almost responded to the email, okay, that's a good list of what Christians are supposed to do, but what's your Scout Law? Because this sounds an awful lot like who we need to try to be. And I appreciate what Norm does with the Scouts. And there's a lot of information about that in the back if you'd like to know more about what they do. And it's been a good relationship with the church here for over 25 years now. So we're very glad to have them here with us. I was a Scout a long time ago. I told the Scouts in my class this morning, if you walk into my mom's house today, in the back door, because that's the way everybody goes into my mom's house, and you look immediately to your left, there's a shrine to Brian there. And in that shrine, there is a 16 by 20. So the size of these posters on the side walls, a 16 by 20 of smiling 9-year-old Brian in the Cub Scout uniform with the yellow neckerchief and the blue and all that. And every time I walk in and I kind of shake my head and my children laugh like they are now. But Scouts was a good memory for me too. One other thing before we start, and sorry about all the announcements on the front end here. We had a funny moment at the beginning of church where Denise and Darlene and I were searching frantically for a Bible. Not just any Bible, but we had a Bible for Katie, who was baptized several weeks ago. And we wanted to present it to her, and I don't want to bring Katie up here because Katie mentioned to me before she was baptized that the one thing that she was a little hesitant about with the whole thing was having to be in front of everybody, which I can respect because I don't think most of us would want to get called up here this morning, even with mouse traps like a couple weeks ago. But we searched, we looked around, we looked in the office, we looked in the other office, we looked in Darlene's office, we looked in the foyer, we looked back by the soundboard, and oddly enough, I found it sitting exactly where I left it last week, right in front of Dave and Katie. So we had it here last week and they weren't here, but there's your Bible in a gift bag right in front of you, and we are very happy to have you as part of the family here. If you are a guest with us, we have been talking about the book, I Am a Church Member, by Tom Rainer. Sounds an awful lot in a lot of ways, like the Scout Pledge that we heard, some of the things that we have talked about. But so far, we have mentioned that I will be a functioning church member, which is to say, I'm not just here because membership has some sort of privileges. I'm not just here because I want to warm a seat for an hour and 15 minutes or so. I am here because I want to be a functioning member of this church. And then we talked about being unifying church members, which is to say that we will not try to be divisive. We will try to be people that unify and encourage. Then we said, I will not let my church be about my desires and preferences. Kind of the tough one to get past because we all have opinions and we all like things a certain way, but church is not that. That's not how we do church. I will pray for my church leaders. We talked about last week, and I hope for some of you who have mentioned you wanted to do that, that you have been able to, and that has been at top of mind for you. And if it hasn't, like I said last week, if you got off track with that sometime this week, we will still take the prayers starting this week, and it's okay. You can jump on with that as quickly as you can. This week, we will be talking about, I will lead my family to be healthy church members. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5, that's where we'll be this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. I will lead my family to be healthy church members. Now, initially, this is a tough one in a lot of ways because I'm sure within our room that there are those of us who can go back generations of family and you have a history of church there, and there are those of you that have all of your family around you even this morning. There are those who, when your families get together, church is a central part of what you do. And then there are others within our audience this morning. It's tough. It's tough to come to church sometimes and to think of who is not here. It's difficult to come to church sometimes and to think of conversations that you have tried to have with members of your family over and over again, and they just don't accept what you're trying to tell them. It's tough to think of family members who were very active in the church at some point, and then something happened. Whether it's something happened at church that drove them away, or something happened in life that drove them away, and for whatever reason, they're not here today. And I hope you will still listen this morning. I hope that there will be something worthwhile in here for each of us, and maybe a reminder that even though things are not always the way we'd like them to be, that we can still do things to try to draw ourselves and others closer to God. I saw this picture on the cover of Newsweek in April of 2012. And if you can't see the words well from where you're at, the caption is, "Forget the church, follow Jesus." And when I thought about this series, this was one of the first things that came to mind with me because this is what we hear a lot in the world around us. You know, the Christianity thing sounds okay if it wasn't for the church. And it just doesn't really work that way, does it? The thought of Christianity and yet no church, although it may sound nice because we will look at church and we will look at all the negatives that come with churches sometimes, and we will think, well, everything that Jesus is teaching is fine, but those people don't do that sometimes. Or maybe those people don't do that a lot of the time when I see them. I see people who are selfish. I see people who are, and the one that's always going to come around, I see people who are hypocrites. And because of that, Christianity, Jesus, those things sound fine. I don't want anything to do with the church. And if you can't make this out really well from where you're at, this is the way it's been described as hipster Jesus. This is what an image of Jesus might be put in some modern clothes that you might find in the mall today. He's got the crown of thorns on, though, so you can still know that he's Jesus. And this is the kind of Jesus that really associates with a lot of people in our culture today, which is one that they see as the things he's teaching sound fine, but I don't really want to be a part of that group. And that is one of our biggest difficulties, I think, as families today, is for our children and for our grandchildren, helping them to still see the importance of church, helping them to still see the importance of a group of people that is flawed, or that are flawed, a group of people that don't always get it right, a group of people that sometimes when those criticisms come up, they are justified, and that there is still something important and valuable about this group. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, Paul writes, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do for the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." Now, usually when we look at these verses, we're talking about marriage. And usually for guys and we're looking at these verses, we stop right around here. But we're talking about marriage. We're talking about how that relationship is supposed to work. I want you to think of it in reverse a little bit this morning, because we have this comparison that comes to Christ and the church so many times. Instead of thinking about the marriage side of it this morning, although you can take some of that too, think about the church side of it this morning. I would imagine that you have something in mind of what a good marriage is supposed to look like. And I would imagine that if you are married this morning, that there are some of you that feel like you have that. There are some of you that feel like you want that. And some of you that maybe feel like you have days where that's kind of it, and other days where you wonder what in the world you're doing. There are some of you that may shy away from the idea of marriage because of how you have seen it messed up. Whether it's culturally or in your own family, you've seen things become a wreck. You don't want anything to do with that, and so you just shy away from it. When we look at this idea of submission, look at where we begin. Submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Okay, not because that person deserves it, not because that person is better than you or more powerful than you or somehow has it all together and you just don't quite, but out of reverence for Christ. Because you care about Jesus, because you care about God, it's going to cause you to submit. And then the correlation we have here is it's the same way we see submission when it comes to the church. So have you ever thought about church in the sense of a healthy marriage and what that is supposed to look like, which is give and take, which is not one side of that marriage is supposed to get their way all of the time, which is each person within that marriage is trying to make sure the other person is as happy as they can be. What if we looked at church in that way? What if church started to become more about your needs than my needs? What if church started to become more about God's needs above all of ours and what God has brought us here for, and then we fall somewhere in the middle of all that? The husband is head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Church membership is like family. And if I say to you family, it means 100 different things to the people in this room. I've told you before, I did not grow up in a large family. I'm an only child, which is why the shrine to Brian is on the wall with the Cub Scout and all that stuff. I was the only grandchild for quite a few years. When we would have the big Thanksgiving Christmas meals, that meant getting the leaf out for the table. And that was it. There were 8 or 9 of us at the big meals. I went to a family reunion of my wife's family a couple years ago, and there was a hotel rate for the family reunion. There was a conference room that we all got together and shared stories of people I have no idea who they are and all of that. And I thought to myself, this is kind of neat. This is family. Church is family, which means there are church members that frustrate us. Because unless your family is a whole lot different than mine, there's a family member out there somewhere that frustrates you. There are church members that you cannot wait to see come through the door. I will guarantee you, Larry and his family, they go and they go on this trip in their RV where they're going all over the world, and Larry told me looking at graveyards and things. They go all around the country in this RV. There are people that are anxious for the day that they show up again because they're happy to see them again. There are people when Gary and Brenda show up in their RV that are happy to see Gary and Brenda here because they're a member of the family in one way or another. We have people like that here, that you're excited. When my uncle would come to visit when I was a kid, I didn't wait inside the house. I waited at the end of the driveway because he was coming and that was exciting. I wanted to be a part of that. Church is family. There are ups and downs in church. Unless your family is a whole lot different than my family, the last 30 days in your house have not been perfect. Something has happened. Something has gone wrong. There has been a leak. There has been something that has been broken. There has been someone that has not done what they said they were going to do. There has been someone that did something that upset you. It's family. Why should we expect any different than that here? What would it look like if we went back? I've never gone backwards here. Here we go. If we went back to this picture again, and I want you, instead of Jesus standing in the middle of Times Square, I want you to imagine one of your family members there. And what if we said, Larry's great. I'll pick on two Larrys today. Larry's great if it wasn't for his family. I like Larry. I like to be around Larry. Or what if you're a member of that family? What if it's Hans, and Hans says, Larry's great if it just wasn't for Lars? If we didn't have to deal with Lars all the time, Larry, I could deal with Larry. Larry's great. But Lars, I don't know. We wouldn't do that with our own families, would we? Would we get to that family reunion and as frustrated as we might be with somebody, would we skip that whole thing because that one guy might be there and he might bother me that day? We would never do that. And yet in church, how many people do you know that are either not here this morning or at another church somewhere for reasons like that? Somebody did me wrong. I don't want anything to do with that anymore. I'm okay with God to some degree, but not the church. I don't want that anymore. Church is family. Now, as the church submits to Christ, verse 24, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, I don't know about you. I've been a part of some pretty good churches over the years. I don't know that I've ever felt as if I was a part of a church that was radiant without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. I feel like I've been a part of a lot of churches that have got some stuff going on just under the surface. No one wants to admit it. Everybody wants to look nice when everybody else shows up. But there are things going on. And Christ wants more for us than that. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. In a healthy church, we are to love and sacrifice unconditionally. Now, we need to look for a minute, and this is the reason I put it in all caps up there, at the word love. Because somewhere along the way, our society has totally messed this word up. Love does not mean I am okay with everything you do. Love does not mean you are okay with everything I do. Love does not mean we pretend there are no problems. Love does not mean that everything goes. Because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the context of family, does it? If you have that family member that is self-destructive, does love ignore that? If you have that family member that is just in a series of problems, in a series of things they cannot get themselves out of, does love ignore that, or does love try to help someone up into a better place? We love unconditionally as a church family, which means sometimes we have to say the hard thing. Man, I hate doing that. I don't like telling somebody that what you're doing needs to change. And I'll tell you what, I don't like being on the other side of that either and being told that what I'm doing needs to change. But that's what love does. If you have a child that is in the midst of struggle after struggle after struggle, and you can see in there a way for life to get better, would love withhold that in the name of peace, in the name of getting along, in the name of not having a hard discussion? Or would love sit down in a room with that person and say, we need to have a talk? We love unconditionally, which means we put up with a lot of junk. And that's the nature of it. The same way it would be in your family. There is no accident here that the Spirit has given to Paul these words that church and family are very similar. Because as much as your family drives you crazy sometimes, you'd do anything for those people. As much as your family drives you crazy sometimes, I don't think you've had a thought for very long where you say, I'm about ready to be done with them. Just let them go do something else and I don't have to deal with those people. Love carries you through those things. Now, do you have that fleeting thought every now and then? Maybe so. Do you have that in a church context every now and then? Maybe so. But God calls us to something greater than that. For we are members of this body. We were members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, I have to be careful with this part because my mom has been known to listen every now and then to these things. She's already heard about the shrine, so I'm down one. When my wife and I got married, I made lots of mistakes along the way. Did lots of dumb things. I could tell you story after story of stupid things I have done. One of the smartest I did very early on was I made a decision somewhere during that first couple months that if there is ever a disagreement and my wife feels one way about it and my mother feels the other way about it, I am going to choose my wife whether I agree or not. Hard to do sometimes when you disagree, but I knew that I had to set the tone for what this was going to be, which is I have left father and mother, and I am now one with her. Church is family. There are going to come times within church that what happens in here disagrees with what happens out there. And where do we go? Church is family. We need to have each other's backs out there. We need to be on the same team. We need to set ourselves in the direction of Christ in here so we can be ready to be out there. There will come times of disagreements. There will come times when things are not just smooth sailing. And yet we continue on. For this reason, a man leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And I love this in the context of the marriage and church talk. This is a profound mystery. For there is never a truer statement in Scripture, I don't think, than this is a profound mystery. Whether we're talking about church dynamics or family dynamics, there's a lot that we just can't wrap our heads around. How this is supposed to work. How do people get along so well when they disagree sometimes? I think I've mentioned before, I went to a funeral for a fellow at our church who had been married 50-something years back in Arkansas. And one of his grandkids got up to talk about him and said he had never heard him raise his voice to his grandmother, ever. And I thought, wow, how do you do that? And this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And then we get into kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So when we find ourselves in these family roles, and again, in the context of family or in the context of church life, it goes well. God has laid things out in the way that he has for a reason. He has placed people in the positions that they are in for a reason. He has made us the church family here at Eugene that meets on Norkenzie Road for a reason. And he expects us to do good with that. He expects us to be family together. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. I hate this part. I'm sorry, that's strong for Bible. I have a hard time with this part because I like to exasperate sometimes. I know the buttons that can be pushed. And again, chapter 5 to chapter 6 is something somebody invented several hundred years after all this stuff was written. There was no chapter 5 and chapter 6. Not the words, but the divisions, okay? Paul wrote Ephesians. It's a letter to the church at Ephesus. You do not put chapters and verses in letters when you write them or emails when you write them. Neither did Paul. And so there's a division here between wives and husbands and children, but there's not. This is all part of a thought that Paul is saying. And again, in the context of church life, do not exasperate each other. I've been here a short time, about 6 months or so at this point. I already know. I already know there are buttons that can be pushed, and I don't want to push them. And I sometimes will stand back, and I will watch some of you push them with each other. And you know. We can't do that. It's easy sometimes, and frighteningly enough, it's fun sometimes if you're geared that way, but we can't do it. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We talked about praying for church leaders last week. What if you start praying together as a family for our church and its leaders? What statement does that send to the people in your family? This is important enough to you that we need to pray to God about it. This is a big deal. This is something that we need to talk about. What are the conversations when you get in the car today to leave? Sermon was a little long today. Not ready for that book to be done. This is week 5 of 6, by the way, just one more. Felt out of place because I didn't have a scout uniform today. Didn't like those songs. Loved those songs. Class was a little off. What do we talk about when we get in the car today? How do we discuss this church? And how does that affect the people around us? Where I came from, we had a youth group that was about half public school and about half Christian school, actually like 40% of each, and maybe about 20% of homeschoolers. And there was a division between those groups. Private school kids didn't like public school kids didn't like private school kids, back and forth. Actually, what I started to find out a lot along the way was kids liked each other just fine. Their parents had issues. Parents didn't like private school. Parents didn't like public school. And you could start to see in conversations words that kids don't use. And you realize they've heard these words somewhere. This is coming from somewhere else. When you start to hear your kids talk about church in a way that a kid of that age should not know about church, guess where they got it from? They've heard it. They've heard us talking about it. What if instead we pray as a family for our church? What if instead we talk as a family about ways that we can better our church? 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, "For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her own believing husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, but as it is, they are holy." There's this conversation going on in 1 Corinthians 7 about Christians and non-Christians being married and all the excitement that comes from that and the drama that comes from it. Have you ever considered that your family might be a mission field in a lot of ways? That those people that you live with or those people who are a distant family, they need to hear about God too. Now, this is tough, again, where we started this whole conversation, because you have tried. You have tried and you feel that they have not heard. And I will tell you that you have tried and you feel that they have not heard, but somewhere in the back of the head, you have planted a seed. Now, whether that thing ever grows or not, we do not know. But I will tell you, keep watering. Now, don't badger. Don't make yourself difficult to be around at the family reunion, but keep watering. Keep loving, keep caring, keep serving, keep making sure people understand that the reason you do those things is because of God and because of the church, and you are doing what Dylan told us to do at the beginning this morning. You are making disciples. God's love in Romans chapter 5 has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, ever get frustrated with God's timing? Paul tells us here in Romans, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As a church member, I am not merely to like the church. I've often imagined, I've performed a few weddings over the years, and sometimes they will have me do like the standard vows with all the I do's, and do you take this woman, and rich or poor, all that stuff. Sometimes they will write their own because they're geared that way. I've often thought, wouldn't it be funny if the bride, and I've seen these kind of vows before, the bride has clearly put a lot into it, and the groom is the groom, and does what guys do. And the bride has this big, flowery, incredible thing there's been a lot of work on, and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if then the groom got up and said, you know, I really like you. And that would carry you a little bit in junior high, but somewhere along the way, you've got to go past that into something deeper. We are not called to merely like the church. This is not something that I hope you don't leave each day and go back to Facebook to change your rating on our page. Well, it was a 4-star today, but maybe next week if they try a little harder, it'll get up to 5. I hope we don't view it that way. I hope we don't, this isn't just something we kind of like to do. We're not called merely to serve the church, although that would be a big step for a lot of people. If you get past the point of you come in, you sit down, you leave, to I'm going to do something here. I'm going to be a functioning church member like we talked about in week one. You are called to fall deeply in love with your church. I would bet if we were to ask some of the couples around here that have been married a whole lot longer than I have, what has brought you this far? There are a lot of things involved in that, but somewhere in the midst of all of it is there is a love for that other person that you can't quite put into words. And I would bet that if you were to run into some people that have been in church a whole lot longer than you or I, what has kept you here this long is a deep, deep love for God and for his church. And if you don't have that on day one, you can get there. I thought I loved my wife when the church doors opened and she started walking down the aisle. Had no idea. Had no idea where that love would feel 15 years later. And if church is not doing that same thing to you, we got to make some adjustments. Because church should be that same kind of progression. Your relationship with God should be that same kind of progression where year after year it just gets better. Where the frustrations sometimes fade into the background. Because although that you have this deep love for this group that's enough that it can get under your skin sometimes, you're willing to overlook some of that because you love this too much. You love the church too much to let those things get in the way. You love God too much to let those things get in the way. And we will stop this week as we always have with some ideas of who we are to be and what we can do. I am a church member. I will lead my family to be good members of this church as well. What does that look like? It's a little bit different for each of us. Whether it's how you serve, the importance you place on this place, where it is in your list of priorities of things that you do, what are you willing to miss the gatherings for? What are you not? How do you speak of the church? Do you pray for the church? It's a little different for each of us. My wife reminded me before I got up here of a time where one of our kids, I can't remember which one now, was it Nathan, David? It was one of those guys. One of our kids was studying Philippians in Bible class, and he had learned in Bible class from his Bible school teacher that Philippians was like a map. It was a map of how to get closer to God. It was a map of the things that you needed to do, the roads you needed to go down to be a good Christian. And everything you needed to know was somehow in the middle there of Philippians. And I remember in our family, it became this thing where every time Philippians would come up, we would talk about, well, Philippians is a map, of course. He was teaching us about what it was to be a member of the church at that point. We can all take up that slack and teach each other at sometimes what it is. I will lead my family to be good members of this church as well. We pray together for our church. We will worship together in our church. We will serve together in our church. And we will ask Christ to help us fall deeper in love with this church because he gave his life for her. It all comes back to that, doesn't it? If Jesus cares enough about this church to give his life, then that should go quite a bit further up our list of priorities in life, shouldn't it? That picture of Jesus on Newsweek, I don't know if Jesus, where he's at today, gets mad. I don't know if there's anger allowed in heaven and how that works. If I saw that picture, it would irritate me if I'm Jesus, because that's not what I had in mind. And I want people to come to Jesus, absolutely, but the church is part of that. And if he cared enough about it to make all these similarities between church and family, and he gave his life for church, then church needs to be important to us too. I hope this morning that you will think of what it is to be a church member again. Who should we be as Christians? Who should we be to the world around us? Who should we be to the people in this room and the family that we are together? And again, as I've said along the way, if you're a guest and you're visiting this morning and you think to yourself, man, I don't know. Sounds like a mess in a lot of ways. It sounds kind of interesting in some ways. It is exactly that. There are times where we will drive you crazy, and there are times that we will be the best thing that ever happened. And like family, we see each other through all of those times. So this morning, if you would like to be a member of the family, if you would like to take Jesus on in baptism for the first time, if you would like to experience grace that we're going to sing about here in a moment, and understand that what we have, we don't deserve, but God gave himself for us so that we could have it. He wants us to be with him. He wants that relationship with us. He wants us to be part of his family. Or if as part of the family you have something that we can pray about or something that you need to confess, whatever your needs may be, please come as we stand and sing.